Every child has a beautiful brain. And I'm your host, Elizabeth Hochsbergen, for the EduNurture podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I am excited once again to share with you something that's been on my heart for a few years. When I think about a child and how to develop their authentic potential for school and life success, I think about the fact that we need to help them change and strengthen their brain. But let me backtrack a little bit first. I've learned over the years of having many opportunities to work with children from preschool all the way through high school and college students that in order to engage someone and help them optimize learning opportunities, it's critical to captivate their heart. Then, by captivating their heart, you can get them to open up their mind and be receptive to learning, wherein their will and emotions partner with the learning process. And then ultimately, through that learning process and repetition as needed, you can help them change their brain. So I have a simple formula I've developed over the years, and it goes something like this. Capture your child's heart in order to engage your child's mind, and this, in turn, will help you change your child's brain. I'm going to share that once more and adjust it slightly for the teachers in the room. Capture your students' hearts in order to engage your students' minds so that you can ultimately change your students' brains for both school and life success. So you see, over the years, I've come to an understanding that if you want to have maximal input on a child's learning and their long-term life trajectory for success across the board, you really must start with their heart. And once you begin to capture their heart and connect with their heart, their mind will be open to working with you, to listening with you, to responding and partnering with you. And once they partner with you and listen to you and work with you, their brain will begin to change more and more. We know from neuroscience that the more the emotions are activated during the process of learning, the greater the likelihood that deep and lasting learning will take place. We also know that if someone feels safe and surrounded by nurture, they're more likely to resist instruction and to engage with the learning process. So when we take the time with our children at home or our students in the learning environment to really get to know them and cultivate those points of connection, maybe you like the same sports team that one of your students does. Maybe you're interested in the same cooking show that another student's interested in. Or maybe one of your students plays on the same ball team as one of your other students. Or with your children at home, just finding areas of commonality that you can cultivate together. So to capture your child's heart, the first step is to find connections of commonality or interest. Talk about them, spend time on them, and a little bit can go a long way in this area. Sometimes it's just as simple as asking them about something they're passionate about. I know in past years as a junior high and high school teacher, when I really didn't have much knowledge about sports and still don't, by the way, to the chagrin of my husband, who was a great athlete and loved sports. But even if I had students, male or female, who are very athletic, I could still connect with them by asking them, how did the game go? Did you get to play? How many points? Or just talking with them about how it went and how they felt about it. I could still develop connection even if I wasn't very familiar with their area of passion. Additionally, to capture your students or your child's heart, you want to help them feel comfortable with you, which means when things go wrong, you don't want to respond with rage or ridicule or intensity or negativity. Whether your students are first graders or ninth graders or graduate students, they need to feel like you care. They need to know that they're safe with you and you're not just going to lose it or become demeaning at any point. If a child is raised in a home where they feel like they have to walk on eggshells, or if students are in a classroom wherein they know if the teacher's having a bad day, the least little thing, and it's not going to go well, if individuals feel this way about their home or their classroom environment, they will tend to close down part of their heart, and they'll be less receptive because they don't feel safe. So part of capturing the child's heart or your students' hearts building points of connection, but also creating a safe and nurturing environment where they don't have to worry about what's coming next. As we capture our students' or our children's hearts, we're ready for the next phase, and that is engaging their mind. When we talk about someone's mind, I'm referring to their will, their volition, their desire, and their emotions that they'll channel to work on learning something. Their mind is their mental engagement and willingness to engage in a learning opportunity. Whereas their brain, which we'll talk about more in a moment, that's really the function and the structure on an anatomical and neurochemical level. So we ultimately want to change the brain, but we have to move through their mind first. And their mind, as I shared, really involves their will, their desire, their motivation, their willingness to focus their attention and mental energies on whatever you're bringing to the learning buffet that day. As you help them engage their mind, they will then begin to learn a lot more. Now, how do we go about engaging our child's mind? Well, first of all, we capture their heart by connecting with them and creating a safe environment at home or at school. And then to engage their minds, we want to do things like help them understand the point of what we're working on learning, or helping them connect what you want to teach them with something they already know, or helping them connect what you want to teach them with something in their future. For example, over the years as a dyslexia therapist, sometimes when I work with an older student, they may not be that interested in the therapy that they need to help remediate their brain's ability to read and spell and write. So I often will talk with them about their dreams. What do they want to be or do on a college and career level? And then we'll talk about their personal aspirations. Would they like to have a family? And things like that. And then I'll connect it to the work we're doing at hand, and I'll explain how the work we're doing has the power to rewire their brain, build greater skill capacity so that they truly can achieve their dreams down the road. So one of the things you can do to help engage the student's mind is to help them see the connection, or helping them understand and really visualize that what you're teaching them, what you're working on with them, is connected to and relevant to their future desires or dreams or something that's very important to them. You also can help engage their mind by helping them understand that them learning this skill and developing skills in this particular content area will help strengthen their capacity to handle what comes next in their life and will smooth the way presently. For example, if they're struggling in math or if they're struggling to remember scientific terms, whatever it might be, if you can help them understand that what you want to do with them and what you're trying to teach them will actually help them learn this in a way that will facilitate the next steps for their learning while also reducing the mental stress and the headache that they might be currently experiencing. When you go about working to engage your student or your child's mind, you're really going after engaging and galvanizing their emotions and their will, their desire to do the work to learn what you have to teach them. And it's through the process of engaging and really activating their willingness to learn that you're going to facilitate their brain development. Truly, all learning is predicated upon brain change. Did you know that when you experience something new or learn something new, even if it's very small, your brain responds by growing more dendrites? Those are the little branches that grow off the neurons, by improving connectivity between neighboring neurons. And even in some cases, it responds in neurogenesis. Neurogenesis is when your brain makes additional nerve cells, which then supports learning. And the more you engage your child's emotions and will, the more they are going to focus on what you're doing and be vested in the process. And as their emotions and their will and their mind are fully engaged, you will maximize their brain's response to the learning activities. Because truly, learning is about improving neural connectivity, helping the brain build better connections. So in order to maximize learning for the students in our homes and the children in our care at school, we want to be intentional about capturing their heart by building connections through common interests or showing them that you're interested, and creating a calm, safe, reliable environment. And then we want to work to help them engage their will and their emotions so that their mind is attending to the task at hand. And you're going to do this by helping them see the relevancy of what you're teaching, and also helping them see the connection between what you're teaching with their future desires or dreams or interests. And also help them understand that as they master these skills and learn this new content, it will ease the path and the journey for them. And then this, of course, in turn, will lead to the brain responding through dendritic development. That's when the dendrites grow in length and in number through a process called arborization. Their brain will grow in neural capacity to handle even more learning, because every time they learn something new, the brain responds through building better neural connectivity and efficiency. So our goal as parents and educators is to capture their heart, engage their mind in order to change their brains and maximize their life potential, their ability to do great things for themselves and others, for school and life success. This is Elizabeth Hochsbergen. Thank you for joining me today. And I'll see you next time right here at the Edge and Nurture podcast.